And if you're raised with a really hot hell, it makes a big difference in your psychology.
Grandma said for you not to be licking no more rocks.
I didn't realize Daryl was religious.
Webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution.
Welcome to the Gospel Revolution Powercast for the 29th of January 2015. The month's nearly gone. We're coming to you from the GR Studios right here in Nashville, Tennessee, where we say with Mignon McLaughlin, there's something in every atheist itching to believe, and something in every believer itching to doubt. And here from Palm Springs, California, is the founder and the president of the Gospel Revolution, Mr. Mike Williams. G'day, Mike. How are you?
Sounds like we need to be scratching each other a little bit around the world, right?
Gospel Revolution.
Let me scratch your back. Even if you claw our eyes out.
Even if you claw our eyes. Oh, what? Oh, mate, we just got home from Calgary, and
it's still spilling over, isn't it?
Oh yeah, I think I'm over the jet lag now. I'm getting too old, mate, for this.
Oh, you got to tell me. I've got to be the one asking the questions now. I was so excited, Barris, for you to meet the folks and the folks to meet you. I want your off the cuff. Now that you've had a moment to let this all settle in, your experience in Calgary, tell me about your experience in Calgary, Alberta.
I loved it from the beginning to the end. I mean, I just loved it, mate. These people, they're more like Aussies than they are Americans, firstly. Don't know where they get that.
Aw, I wouldn't insult them like that. You just came from there.
They are so, they're, oh gosh, I'm going to hurt someone's feelings here anyway. I used to have up on the wall in my office, I used to have a sign that said, pretentious, moi. But there's no pretentiousness about these folks. Yeah. What you see is what you get, and they're just so sweet, gentle, and lovable, and just the nicest crew. I don't know how you make the friends you have, Mike. I don't know whether you deserve the friends you got, but I wish I had them.
Oh, I can tell you I don't. I know I don't.
And, I mean, you're living right now, you're in Palm Desert in the house of one of your friends.
It's actually in Palm Springs. And, in fact, I just took Barris on a tour of the compound here. And it is a, if you can get this, and Barris, one of the reasons that I needed to take Barris on a tour was because he just couldn't get the concept of a ranch downtown Palm Springs.
Downtown Palm Springs.
Yes, a ranch downtown Palm Springs. Bridget and Bob are dear friends of mine, and I met Bridget many years ago. They've got married since I met Bridget, and this place that they live now is a purchase that they did about 3 or 4 years ago, and of course have just turned it into this magnificent place.
Getting back to Canada, it was so good to meet Vic DeBrennan. I don't think
that amazing.
Oh, lovely. And his wife, Debbie.
Yes.
I don't think I'm going to make the mistake of mistaking him for Pep Washburn ever again.
I think you may have separated the two names finally.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they both look somewhat similar. I don't want to get any – one of them is better looking than the other, but I don't want to get any fights started here. You know? And you did we did 5 sessions, I think, in all up there in Calgary.
Yeah.
And those folks, they just drink
and
it up.
They won't leave. I mean, you know, we dismiss the sessions, and they just sit there. It's you know, if you ever watched a mother bird fly up to her nest, and a little baby birds are there, and she feeds them, and they're there with their little mouths open, and she flies away, and they just stay there with their eyes and their mouths hanging open. And that's what these guys look like to me. Whenever you finish teaching, they don't move. It's like, shoo, go away. But they won't, so.
You really want them to hear that, do you, buddy? Now they're like birds. Should I play that jingle, Pigeon Religion?
No, let's don't do that, no.
Welcome to Pigeon Religion. Really, it's for the birds.
Well, don't you know about the bird? Well, everybody knows that the bird is a word. Well, a bird, bird, the bird, the word, well, a
okay.
But no, they are. I was so delighted if I had not experienced what I normally experience and always experience there in Calgary. I would have enjoyed it as much just by watching your delight with them and their delight with you. I was a little concerned about going up there, and I thought, well, what if they just hate bears? What am I going to do? And
really. And that's always on the table. You know that.
No, I had already described everything that I knew to describe about you, except for the part that can't be described and that has to be experienced. And so they, of course, were anticipating your arrival. And boy, they were not disappointed. I'm a little concerned about my job security right now.
Yeah, well, you just treat me right and I'll look after you.
But yeah, guys, all of you that are listening in Canada, oh gosh, thank you so much. What a successful conference. In the middle, we could give you a list of reasons this conference may not have gone well on so many different levels. And on every one of those levels, they just blew the doors off of everything. It was well attended. Everything just went so very well, and we appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. And again, to Vic and Debbie for the things that they do to get all this going. And also Bernice Ramsenwood. You know, Bernice.
What a sweetheart.
Yeah, you got to meet my, the First Lady of Canada, as far as I'm concerned. She carried all of this herself for many years, and the love, of course, that I received from all of these folks, and take great care to make sure that you know you're cared for. And now you've got to experience that, and it really, really is quite amazing.
I loved what Bernice said. She used to be a worship leader.
Yes.
She said, I kept looking for songs that I could bring into the Gospel Revolution, but I couldn't find any that weren't jam-packed with lore.
I know. She, for several years, kept leading us in two or three songs, and before we would do the very same sessions that you were part of there, Bears. And each year, session, there were fewer and fewer, until she finally said, you know, Michael says, nobody's coming here to sing or to listen to all of this. Are you comfortable with just starting out and us just teaching? And I said, I'm more than comfortable with that. Let's just do that. And then, so again, folks in Canada, thank you so much. You are a delight of my heart every day. To actually get to see everyone every 6 months to me is it is a family reunion each and every time, for sure. Now we've added one more. We've added several more to the family, not just Barris, but we've had new folks that arrived that just are so turned on they don't know what to do with themselves. And Barris got to speak with all of them.
And we're going to hear more from at least two of them in this show. It was so nutritious for me to hear people that I didn't even know. I mean, I didn't know they lived, but they came out of the blue and said, I wouldn't miss a podcast, and thank you, and a bunch of other things. It was so lovely. It was touching. It was encouraging. Yeah. It was nurturing. It sure was good for me, mate, to meet all of these folks, some of whom we've never heard in the in the PowerCast. We've never heard them, but out there they are out there, and as they're working through their workaday, they're listening to us speak on the gospel.
Yes. And of course, James was there, and we are in his ear at all times. Unless he's listening to someone else, he's got the Gospel Revolution going in his ears. And of course, James was there, been a great friend of mine for many years, and a supporter of the Gospel Revolution. He always wants to make sure that the needs are all met, and is there anything else we need? You know, instead of us calling and letting James know about needs, which he wants us to do, there are times he'll ask me, you know, have we got everything in that you need? You know, what's happening? Mm. So it's a very wonderful thing to have. And he and his wife, Gail, have gone through such a transformation. And they're now raising they're not raising their grandchild. They, as much as their daughter will allow them to raise their grandchild, they are. They spend a lot of time with their little girl. And we get updates from James. And James is a big guy. And that little girl has him so tightly wound around her little finger, you just would not believe a man that size could be under the dominion of a tiny little girl. But boy, he certainly is. They love that little girl so much. And she's one of the children that we're looking forward to seeing how it affects them, that they're never raised under guilt and judgment and condemnation. And
I think I can help with that.
Oh, good.
I believe I can help you see what her future holds. And we're going to switch over and listen to an interview we had with Lana. Lana told me her story Saturday night, and on Sunday morning we interviewed her because it was just so – I mean, and I was – mate, I hate her. I hate her. I am so jealous. And all the way and all the time she's talking, I'm going, oh, I was so robbed by religion. So here is Lana and Daryl, and I almost felt like I had to say, do you mind if I call you Danny to save the confusion? But it is Daryl. Lana and Daryl, here's Lana.
We're going to have a word with these couple now, and I've tried to prepare them both. So, no, you don't ever warn. You don't ever warn your targets.
Stick off his back.
Firstly, you're Daryl.
Daryl, yes.
And?
I'm Lana.
And Lana, Daryl and Lana. What's your last name?
Jose.
Jose? Jose. Jose, can you see my... Okay. Tell me just in 1 minute what your background is, Daniel. Daryl.
Back in the 80s, I was beat up
I'll call you Jose. Do you mind if I call you Jose?
Jose? Yeah. Big Mexican. No, actually, in the 80s, I was beat up going through a lot of the weird stuff, Word of Faith movement, and a couple friends brought me out to see Mike, and back then, and took hold, and I found peace, and I left religion behind. And
did he, Lana? Did he leave religion behind?
Yeah, well, I didn't know him back then. I didn't know, because otherwise I probably would have run. If I would have known him back then when he was in the church, I probably would have
run. Oh, tell us a story about... Now, Lana, tell us about your dad.
My dad?
Yes.
The story about the...
No, just tell us about him.
Oh, my dad. My dad was... He was a little bit concerned about us coming this weekend because he just went, where are you going again? What are you doing? I didn't realize Daryl was religious. He said, because my dad really is the opposite of religion. And so I was a little girl trying to go to church and staying over at a friend's house on a Saturday, you know, and not saying I was going to church on the Sunday with the family. But that was my very minimum. So once in a while, the only church that I did get was going to the Catholic church. And I never knew if I was supposed to stand, sit, you know, kneel. You know, I wanted to go to Bible camp. I couldn't do that, you know, because I'd come back and I'd be preaching to him. And he knew probably I would have. Probably I would have. But I think I always, looking back, and from what I'm hearing, is I've obviously always been spiritual. I always inherently knew that everyone was there. Everyone was included. There was no exclusion. So I just, and I think that was probably the greatest gift my parents gave to me, was not allowing me to go to church looking back, because from everything you guys all say, that's pretty screwed you up for a long time. So for me, like, and a lot of times when you guys are asking about, you know, this, like the Pentecostal thing and stuff, I had to get, Mike and Daryl had to explain that to me.
Lana is putting her hands in the air when she's saying that.
I didn't know. So, I mean, when I came into it, I was starting, Daryl was sort of content with just knowing that things were going to be okay and everyone was okay. So that's when Daryl and I met. But I had a difficult teenager that was giving me a lot of grief. And my friend who was involved with Alpha said, you know, maybe you need to come to Alpha. And I said, I really don't know anything about any of this stuff. I mean, the only thing I know about religion is the Bible story and the Easter Bunny, right? And I mean, that's Easter was about getting chocolate. That was about it, right? So I really knew nothing. So she said, you know what, this is safe. This is, you know, go to Alpha. It's actually at the library. So it's not, with any church, you can go. And I said, okay. And there's a potluck. Great. You know, I'm always in for a good potluck. So so I went. And the first couple, I sat in a chair and they break you into smaller groups. And I was really fascinated by some of the things people had to say, but I really knew nothing. I didn't even realize at the time Jesus was Jewish. That's how ignorant I was and naive about the whole. So the gentleman, the leader said, and I remember saying to him, so you're telling me, just wait, like this, I treated it like a Sunday school for idiots, right? Kind of thing. And I said, I'm sorry, I know nothing. I know nothing. So you're telling me Jesus was Jewish? And he said, yeah. So he lived as a Jew. And he said, yeah. And I said, and he died as a Jew? Yeah. And I said, so why the whole need to change now? Like, why, what's the point of Christianity then? He kind of had this look of horror on his face, because the people coming around were a lot of Christian people. And this one lady put her Bible down and said, could you explain that to us? And I don't even think he really answered at that point. So I was he kind of dismissed me at that point. And I just sat there with a whole bunch of questions unanswered. And then as the series progresses, I think the biggest one was they all of a sudden talk about the evil, right? And I had never, ever been subjected to that. So literally they made us sit in a circle and they had a cauldron, or I call it a cauldron. They asked for a pot. They asked you to visualize a pot.
A potluck anyway.
Right. Yeah. And you know, and then start putting things that you consider evil into the pot. So I was very quiet and observing and going, I'm not sure exactly where this is going. So people were slow to start, and then they started with things like, you know, racism and the Holocaust, and you know, and then the fervor started a little bit more, and I, you know, then they lost me at Harry Potter. And you know, and then it was yoga, trick-or-treating, because it was in the fall, and I was horrified. Like, I looked at my friend, and I was on the opposite end of the door, and I was thinking, how am I going to get out of here? Like, you know, this is, they lost me at that. And at that point, I just realized, this is really not, like, you guys have this really wrong, right? Like, for me. And so the other leader, who I hadn't had much contact with, who didn't know that I knew nothing, said, Lana, you're awfully quiet. Do you have anything to share? And I said, you know, pretty much that thing, you know, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. So my parents did raise me with manners. So I just said, you know, I really don't think you'd like to know what I have to say. And I, at that point, I think I went to the final potluck, because it was the big wind-up. You're not going to miss that. But I pretty much excused myself after that. And then that was when I went home to Daryl, and he said, you know, it was getting closer to January. And he said, you know what, maybe we should go, because your thoughts are very parallel. I don't know all the scriptures. I don't know all the reasons why. I just know. So that's
when we came back.
Now, what are you going to do about your evil and your sin and and going to hell? What are you going to do about that, Lana?
She's in no first job.
Would you like me to lead you in a simple sinner's prayer?
Well, you could try. Do we have a cauldron? Do we have a cauldron?
Well, we are going to have a potluck. We could throw you in. Hey, Daryl, Lana, thank you so much for sharing this. Appreciate it. We're going to put this on there on a PowerCast. So thank you. So, Daniel.
Daryl.
Do you mind if I call you Daniel?
No,
too?
Yeah, Daniel's good, no.
To save the confusion here, I said Daniel. Daryl, thanks, mate.
All right, thank you.
Lana, thanks so much. You're great sports. Then after we got home from our winter conference in Canada, I received this email from Lana, and it read thus. The title was, or the subject was, I'd like to add. She says, good morning, Beres. It was wonderful to reconnect with everyone at the Calgary Grace Conference this past weekend and be finally able to meet you in person and put a face to the voice. When you started speaking on Sunday morning about wanting to interview someone, I had no clue that you were implying me. However, I shortly realized that you were heading right in my direction. I have to say I was quite gobsmacked and confused at first. What do I have to say that would be of any significance? I'm the one in this audience that seems to be, in the words of Sesame Street, one of those things is not like the others. I am the one who is clueless to Christianity. It seems like the other lovely people at the conference have a story or a history with a church or churches. My story really is no story at all, no story and certainly no consistent history. You see, I was a little girl who was discouraged by my parents from going to church, Bible camp, and attending the Traveling Summer Bible Revival. At the time, I remembered that I desperately wanted to go, if only to see what I was missing. Other classmates would come to school and tell stories about having to go to confirmation classes and who they saw at Bible camp. I would just sit listening to my friends and honestly felt a bit left out. I have to say that my only glimpses into conventional religion as a child were that I was baptized Catholic as a baby because everyone in my mum's family was baptized. The occasional trip to the Catholic Church when I would plead for my mum to take me, tagging along with a friend and her family after a Saturday night sleepover and standing outside the revival tent because my parents refused to sign the permission slip. I remember asking my parents why they wouldn't let me get involved with anything religious. My mum, who was raised as a French Catholic, answered that she was tired of church because she had to go so often as a child and never wanted her children to have to go through that experience too. My dad's religious experiences as a child were often sporadic and negative. He also did not want that for his children. They would also joke that they thought I would come home and start to preach to them. Brackets, probably very true. Close brackets. Thinking back, I now realize that my parents wanted my brother and me to grow up untainted by any negative religious experiences. They encouraged us to wait until we were adults so that we could make our own informed choices. As an adult, I have attended a service here and there, but never more than a few. I'm lucky to say that the negative stories that other people have told me about what they have experienced are foreign to me. However, I never felt completely at peace in any church, and I never understood why. Lovely people, lovely music, lovely fellowship, but lovely message? During the message, I'd sit and often be confused. In relationship? Out of relationship? How can that be? What does the pastor really mean? Even my time during the Alpha course, I realized that the people were lovely, the potlucks were delicious, but often the message didn't make sense to me. Sometimes the message made me feel downright uncomfortable in my own skin. You see, Beres, I have never, ever thought that God was mad at me. I've never, ever thought that I might not get there. I've never, ever thought that God's group was elitist. I never, ever thought that evil could consume you or me. I could go on and on. Now, don't get me wrong. I have had many not-so-nice times in my life. However, I have never, ever thought it was because of God, Jesus, or any kind of in or out of relationship. Listening to Mike and everyone in the Gospel Revolution has cemented me in something that I have always known. We are one. When I heard Mike say that everything was dealt with at the cross, it is finished, all I could say is, of course, of course, of course. The Gospel's message just makes sense. with my soul. I felt like the little girl in me knew all along. My parents allowed me to feel God the way I feel he is meant to be, full of complete love, complete grace, and complete oneness. I want to give thanks to my parents because without them I don't know where I would be today spiritually. Today, because of my parents' quote-unquote wise unwillingness, I was, am, and will always be spiritually at peace. Yours, Lana.
Lana, thank you so much. This has been a really interesting relationship with Lana's involvement in the gospel and the meetings there in Calgary over the last year and a half or so, I suppose. May have been as much as 2 years. But Lana, as you heard, it was so funny because whenever I do these sessions and then we'd open up for questions, Lana would ask questions like, so, well, what is speaking in tongues? You mean you had to confess? What do you mean you had to? So it was like speaking to somebody who had been raised on a planet on which there was no religion.
Yeah.
It was almost like you could listen to John Lennon's song, Imagine, and instead of imagining, you just had to talk to Lana to see what that would be like.
That's good. That is exactly what it was like.
You know, a lot of people wonder, you know, well, unless you've been drugged through the ringer of Christianity, is there any need for the gospel? Well, you know, Lana's a pretty good example of the benefits of the gospel in someone's life who never knew religion before.
And yet, in spite of that, she doesn't smell. She doesn't have a mustache. She doesn't look like she'd be into raping, pillaging, and murder. I just don't understand how she can be as nice as she is and not have had a good dose of religion, the Ten Commandments.
You know, you're exactly right. I mean, how in the world is someone supposed to have a smile on their face and be nice? It must be all deception, you know, because if she wasn't raised like you were, Barris, it just has to be deception, right?
Has to be. She's got to be. It's a wonderful mask.
It is indeed, for sure. And Lana, thank you so much, honey. It's always a delight to see you there and both of you guys. And it just always is. It's like, wow, you know, now we can have a good time.
And Daryl, just before we leave you, you don't mind that I call you Danny to save the confusion? Now, we met another person in Canada that we interviewed, and her name is Jacqueline. And Jacqueline's story is when she started, she looked back at Lana and she said,
I'm exactly opposite of you.
And I'll let her tell you her own story. But I was just amazed sitting there listening to Jacqueline thinking, wow, it doesn't matter where you come from. In the whole big picture of things, the gospel is an amazing equalizer. So here she is, Jacqueline.
Gospel Revolution.
This young lady?
Ask her anything.
Ask her anything. You like girls or you like guys?
Are you prepared?
No one laughed at that, so you can't ask her anything. Am I prepared?
You can ask me anything. I may or may not answer.
What's your name?
Jacqueline.
Jack, not Jacqueline.
No, Jacqueline.
Jacqueline.
Q-U-E-L-Y.
Jacqueline.
It's the British spelling.
These people haven't got the good manners to say looking at the front. They want to look at you. Tell us your story.
Where to even start? I'm exactly opposite of you. I was raised with, my dad is very much a crusader. And we come out of, or he left the Hutterites.
Oh.
But they weren't really, they tried to be Mennonites, but they weren't really Hutterites or Mennonites.
They were social climbers, were they?
Pardon me?
They were social climbers?
Well, yeah, it was, yeah. No, not really. It was just, they were trying to follow God in their own way, I guess. But So we were raised very, very conservative that way. My dad left that when we were about two or so, and then started in Bible study in our house, and then that grew into a church and all that, which eventually we got kicked out of because, my dad was trying to find truth, and then...
Kicked out of the church you started?
Yes, because we started reaching out to the community and bringing people in and stuff.
You're in good company. Jesus got kicked out of the church he started.
Exactly. Yeah, so... What happened then? What happened then? Well, then, trying to think. Continued searching for truth, I guess. My family ended up moving away then, and... my dad traveled around a lot around the U.S. and Mexico and everywhere preaching and holding meetings and working in prisons and with youth and all that sort of stuff.
In what kind of church was this?
And it became non-denominational at that point.
Okay.
And then that it was still, if you're raised in a certain way, you're plagued by the what ifs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And but when we grew up, I mean, we had to hold our hand over the stove to get the idea how hot hell was, you know? So that sort of stuff, and there was a lot of conflict, and like when we left, we were told we're basically going to hell, you know, and if you're raised with a really hot hell, it makes a big difference in your psychology.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, too, like, I started questioning a lot of stuff myself, and my grandma paid for me to go to Bible school just because she was afraid we were going lost, right? So it was really drilled into you, but I started having a lot of questions about it, and unfortunately I'm my father's daughter too, so I started asking him, well, how can you prove that, and what about this and that, and we weren't allowed to go to school, so I kind of had to leave home to go to university, because I figured, well, if I have to have a better answer than I was given, so then I went into religious studies and other stuff too, right, but... I got my degree in it just to understand the formation of religion and the psychology behind it and what makes people do what they do in that sense. Because if you understand, like, and then when you're it ties into this whole talk about the formation of the New Testament, because if you look at the whole socioeconomic and the political setting and what was going on in people's, like, their cosmology, their belief about God and the universe and their and the political leaders of the time, it makes sense. And if you carry that into, like, the way I was raised and I look at my, you know, I mean, I'm digressing here, but if you look at what people were raised with, you kind of understand why they became what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And so through all this and going to school, I ended up totally giving up the idea of God because I could not reconcile that whole idea of the New Testament and how it was formed with modern-day Christianity. It was illogical because if you followed all the arguments to the end, they don't make sense. And... anyways, my poor father, I mean, it grieved him greatly. I tried not to really be...
At this point, were you an agnostic? Or
I consider myself an agnostic because I don't really think there is such a thing as an atheist if you're going to go down an argument.
Did you say you consider yourself or considered yourself?
Considered. Considered, okay. Yeah. So I would consider myself agnostic at that point, and I was really reacting, you know, to everything. Because I hadn't figured out my God or what I believed about God yet. So that's led to a lot of, I went pretty low with that. But then here last year, my husband, who's a cousin of Laura's husband, about 10 years ago they had given him, or 20 years ago maybe, 15. Or 15, right in between. copies of some old cassette tapes and a blue old Stereophone cassette thing from Michael Williams. And I remember I'd listened to him years ago, and I mean, that, like I told Michael, I said, back when I was younger, my dad threw, you know, the false prophet out of the house for talking about this sort of stuff, because, I mean, then you can go do anything.
Yeah, you can see.
But really, if it's in your heart, you're doing it anyways, I know.
Yeah.
But, so he started listening to that, and... and he was listening to it for about a year and a half. He got back into it because he was searching too. And then last October, he told me to start listening to it. And I kind of did, and I thought, well, whatever. And finally, one day, I sat down and I did. And
your husband?
My husband told me to start listening to Michael Williams, the podcasts.
Mm.
And so then I started listening to him, and I couldn't stop.
Did you fall in love with me?
Pretty much. I love your shoes and I love your socks. I don't know anybody else who wears bright socks like that but me. Anyways, yes. I started listening to him and I was having some struggles with my health. So, I mean, I had nothing else to do. So I listened to all of them. And it was the first thing that actually allowed me to reconcile that whole religious studies with God, with the Bible, with it all making sense. It was like the missing link, for me at least. And so then we debated over whether or not I should tell my dad about it. And Gordy's like, well, Jax, you know, I don't know if he's ready for that. And are you prepared to deal with it? And is it going to make you react? And, you know, maybe it's not a good place to go and blah, blah. And eventually we did. And I was shocked because my dad just, he was getting pretty low too with religion. And they're down in Kentucky now. So you can only imagine like the whole Bible Belt there and stuff. And they completely quit going to church.
I don't have to imagine. I'm in Nashville.
You know how it is. Mm. Yeah. So they, I've never quite seen anything like it either going back east, but,
true.
So yeah, he's now absolutely changed completely. And like, he didn't really admit where it
Your
came.
Daddy.
My dad is now too.
Mm-hmm.
And he thanks me. He's like, Jax, you know, at the end of the day, you know, he's really happy about all of it. And my family, my husband was talking to my sister the other day and they said, they don't know what happened in October, but something just changed. Like, something changed. Like, Dad's real different. Wow. And so we're like, well, just so you know, your heathen brother and sister got him into the Gospel Revolution, and you know, and they're into it now too. And it's just,
wow,
it's changing them, and in a good way.
Wow.
Like my mom said, she goes, the biggest change is that she goes, I don't feel like your dad has to. He doesn't feel like he has to judge anybody. He can just let them be who they are. And that has been
rich.
Yeah. Because my dad, literally, he'd go on the street corners, because if he's going to believe it, he's going to do it.
True.
So he was a Charles Spurgeon, Bunyan, Finney, you know, all these guys.
Man.
And you get raised with that. I mean, Spurgeon can paint a pretty good picture.
If he wasn't a Jonathan Edwards, though, he wasn't for real.
Well, <I'm
laughs> you know that.
I'm sure he's read that one, too.
Yeah, that sinner's in the hands of an angry God.
Angry God, yeah.
I think it's more like God in the hand of angry Christians
that has gotten us in the mess we're in. I really do.
Yeah.
Jacqueline, thank you.
You're welcome.
I used to be a Christian, but Jesus set me free.
I used to be a Christian, but Jesus set me free. I used to be a Christian, but Jesus set me free. I used to be a Christian, but Jesus set me free. Now Gospel Revolution is home sweet home to me.
Jacqueline, thank you hon, so much for sharing your life with us. When I saw you guys come in, and I asked if you'd been there before, you were eager to let me know that no, you had not. But I listened and I heard the show, and she was so excited, and this was her very first time at a meeting in Calgary, Alberta, and was brought in, the best of my understanding, solely through what you and I are doing now, Barris, was listening to the shows and possibly somebody passing on some material to her.
It is
indeed. And her life transformed, just transformed. She could not stop smiling. She couldn't stop. You see those little bobblehead dolls, you know, that sit on the dash of a car. And it was like the entire time that I was teaching, I'm sure you noticed the same thing. The whole time she was just, her head is bobbing up and down. So much going on inside of her of comparison to what she had been raised in, to what she has been hearing and was hearing there in Calgary. It was a powerful, powerful time.
Listen in your office, in your car, or even your neighborhood bar. You can listen with your whole family.
Michael, we're in the middle of a pledge drive. How's things going?
We are indeed. Well, we're going to have to depend on Jeff to give us that update right out of South Florida. I've been in such a whirlwind coming back in. He and I have talked. We didn't even actually have time to talk about the pledge drive and where things were. So, Jeffrey, you're going to have to fill us in here, my friend.
Well, thank you, Mike. These are the people who've given to date. Pledge drive is not totally over. We're running it through the end of the month, through the weekend. And I want to start off with David Dwyer from Brisbane in Australia, and then James Taylor in Calhoun, Louisiana, Dale Van Sickle in Lady Lake, Florida, Rob Vacanti in Otter Tail, Minnesota. Rob called back and gave a second donation, actually. And I had one digit number wrong on his card, so I had to call him back, and he raised it again. So, yeah, thank you so much, Rob. True gospel revolutionary, just loves to get the message out. Michael Price in Scarborough, Maine, Phyllis Schultz in Vernon, British Columbia, Pep Washburn in Marshfield, Wisconsin, Columbia, Cookie Dick, Lee Dick in Kelowna, British Columbia, Cookie Davy Duck in Castor, Alberta, Dwayne and Ruth Daku in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Brad and Holly Wilson in Crean Creek, Arizona, Dee Simpson in Kelowna, British Columbia, Betty Cochran in Atoka, Oklahoma, Bob Hine in McDonough, Georgia, Carrie and Rita Waitman in Whitehall, Montana, Arthur Wirtz in Brandon, Manitoba, Suzanne Johnson in Fitchburg, Wisconsin, Ted and Pat Winsett in Decatur, Alabama, Jackie Barnard in Wachuca City, Arizona, Susan Tatchik in Edmonton, Alberta, Danny Meniscanians in Studio City, California, Walter Wilson in Selma, Alabama, Philomena O'Brien in Dublin, Dublin, Ireland, and Tom Tonsky in Canton, Ohio.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. We appreciate it. Thank you. I don't know how you do it, but you do what you do, like Barris does what Barris does, like Randy does what Randy does, and on 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 and on. So we appreciate that. We don't know of anyone in the gospel. There's a lot of us in the gospel revolution. We know that others could kind of step in for us. Jeff's job, though, hands down, we all just back up in awe and say, we don't know how you do it. Just please don't ever ask me to do it.
Yeah, mate, I tell you, if Jeffrey ever does not come home for soup one night, don't you be laying that stuff on me. I would be a disaster doing that stuff.
And I call and talk to people out of giving, so I don't do any good at it. I mean, I can make the calls, but, I mean, you've seen how we do it on here. If somebody says they're going to give, I've got to make sure they go through all the criteria for making sure they're not giving for the wrong reasons first, that they qualify. They've got to qualify to give. How do you qualify to give? Have absolutely no reason to give other than that you want to. And that's our pledge drive. Give because you want to. Give because you care about other people. We've already experienced so much of this wonderful gospel. We could all walk away and live a lifetime of benefit from this. We do this because others need to hear. You support it not because if you don't, we're not going. We'd keep doing all the things that we do. You guys already know that. We'd still talk. We'd be on the phone. We could, just the same as we always do. But you're giving because you want others to hear. And others heard this week. Others are hearing now because of what you're doing in this pledge drive. And we appreciate it so very much.
Hey, Bernie, you out there? Listen, this one's just for you, Bernie, because we love you.
Praise the Lord and send me the money. I'm happy. You can be happy too. If you praise the Lord and send me the money, that's what Jesus wants you to do.
Late one night while watching Columbo, I fell asleep till 3:15, when just like a vision I thought I was dreaming. I heard the voice of a man on TV.
Only those who have been giving to God's work would be spared.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Now you can make checks payable, of course, to Penny Hain Ministries. If you're using your credit cards, make sure to put your name, your account number, your expiration date, and sign what it says signature.
I wrote out the figures of 1 and 4 zeros. Went out and mailed it with a note to that man, and I said, praise the Lord, I'm sending the money. I surely want to be happy like you. Praise the Lord, I'm sending the money. That's what Jesus wants me to do.
Now, if you're tired of the devil stealing, if you're tired of the devil killing, if you're tired of the devil destroying your life, you must order the personal pack package, and you got to order it right now! Oh, no, 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 I mean, you're going to hell right now, and you're needing God! Answer my prayers.
Praise the Lord, I'm sending the money.
Hello, family. This is Jenny McCollum from Coleman, Alabama. Just wanted to call in and give you guys some of my my perspective of the gospel and the gospel revolution, which is new to me. I first heard of Mike 21 years ago, and it was through a great friend, Pat Rockshaw. Anyway, I actually walked away, and here it is, you know, 21 years later, I have recently discovered you guys through Facebook. And the one thing I can honestly say is that you can't unring the bell, for sure. But anyway, I do watch all of your, all of Jeff's videos. I listen to all the podcasts. Just wonderful, just wonderful. I can't tell you how much you guys mean to me. But, you know, I left church over a few years ago, and you know, although I left the church, it's really funny because I pretty much took the doctrines and the Christian paradigm right with me when I left, and you know, really struggled with dualism for, you know, quite some time, you know, dying to the flesh and that kind of a thing. And I drank the Kool-Aid, you could say, and I believe that Kool-Aid was probably black. It created a mess in them mentality in my own human experience, you know, dualism. But since I've been listening, I've gained so much more insight, so much more freedom, so much more knowledge over all of the years that I've ever spent in Christianity on my knees, you know, at the altar, in my prayer closet, yada, yada. But just thank you guys so much. And I have to add, too, there is an antidote for drinking the Kool-Aid, and it is the gospel revolution. Thank you guys so much for everything that you do. And I love you and I appreciate you so much.
Now, during the Calgary conference, I shared on three topics. One was the veracity of the scriptures. We took quite a while to do that. And then the next thing was why you cannot call Jesus a good and wise teacher. In fact, to do so would be the height of ignorance or the depths of deceit. And the third thing we shared on was why we believe implicitly that the resurrection is a historical fact. Now, you then taught on the things that changed at the cross, Mike.
I wanted to teach on these points with another point completely at hand. I kind of started out in that direction, but it didn't turn out that way, which leaves me with having to do a series again because I never got around to doing what I wanted to do, actually, in Canada. Everybody enjoyed the session. Much of what I taught there, people had heard before. But when you connect these things together, which we've done them on the PowerCast, when you see these things that have been completely fulfilled and how they had to be fulfilled simultaneously, there was not a one could have been done away with without them all being in sync. Everything else, you know, the confusion bearers of this progressive prophetic ongoing prophetic is just pathetic. When you have prophecy and it's claimed by Jesus, not by me, not by Barris, not by the gospel revolution, but declared by Jesus that all prophecy is about him. And you have idiots running around today talking about what Isaiah means for today. It's just, what? Are you kidding me? Are you really, I just get overwhelmed at the thought of this. But when you see the power of prophecy all coming down to a year, a day, an hour, a moment, and that progression of these prophecies, and all of that culminating in that very moment, and of course our dear friends, the Estery brothers, who wrote the book In the Hour We Least Expected, all about that moment in time. In a moment like this, and in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the things that transpired. And my attempt was to begin to teach on how those changes give us a completely different interface with life. I got to talk about it, but I didn't get to teach on it. So we've got a lot to teach about.
I want to say just how grateful I am that you included me, and that that Craze Conferences Canada invited me to join you. I was I had the time of my life. It was quite healing in some ways, nurturing in others, but I just had the time of my life, and thanks for including me.
That makes it all worth it for sure, Barris. Thank you for accepting the invitation, and we appreciate all that shared. And everybody's going to get to hear it, too. How about that?
Well, I just sent the recordings to Randy about an hour and a half ago. So Randy's already got the recordings. He's already – and I told him I'm nervous because I've been through a couple of the recordings, and I started to edit them myself because I wanted to edit some things out that I said and just clarify a couple of things. But and he, you know what he said? He said, "Well, don't you trust me?"
Yeah.
Now, I was wanting to say, no, I don't really. But something in me just stopped, and I just said, oh, heck, have at it, mate. Here they are. You go for it.
Well, and you know, the thing of it is that Randy spoke something out that he is very used to. And I think everybody else in the gospel revolution is used to now, and that is that we really do trust each other to do what we do individually and do the best.
I like that.
We allow people to let their heart be their own oversight of their own place. Goodness gracious, when we record these things, I think it took Barris a little while to adjust to the fact that, hey, that's out of my hands. It's in yours now. And what you do with it is what you do. Jeff, the very same way with his work and what he does. It's not that there's that we have no organization. In fact, the organization works perfectly well this way.
Mm.
And I think that that's probably what you were hearing from Randy. It's like, hey, Whoa, wait a minute. Hey, this is my turn. That's just the way things are, folks. And whatever you get from the gospel revolution, each and every one of us that are making an effort to see this gospel, you just got to understand we really do believe this stuff, and that it's not just for a belief's sake, but that there is a worldview that the gospel gives us an ability to see through that lens. And I think there's answers out there, Barris. I see people all stages in feeling that the degree the gospel is relevant and going different directions, as far as beliefs are concerned, I think we ought to at least keep mining this mine until we find out what's there. One of my favorite little shows, I don't watch reality shows, but Prospectors, which is on the Weather Channel. I love this show. And all these bearded people and families without teeth and all kinds of stuff, you know, up on this mountainside. And one of my favorite lines, I still think that it should be the number one line from 2014 of the reality shows. And of course, the older guy with the long gray beard is introducing his grandson, who is, you know, 14 years old, to mining. And so the way this old guy always looks at a rock he's picked up, he licks it, you know, first, because, you know, got to get it to where you can see it. And so this young 14-year-old boy sitting there with him says, he said, and this is the way he said, Grandma told you not to be licking no more rocks. I love that line. Grandma said for you not to be licking no more rocks. And he comes back with, you know, something, you know, what grandma don't know, grandma's not going to hurt grandma. But when they get into these little holes, and they'll, like moles, they start identifying certain rocks that indicate other types of material are in there. And that's, I see me and you and Jeff and all of us, Bob and everybody who's in there digging, you know, we're up there, you know, we're scruffing around, and we can't stop licking the dang rocks. We got to lick it to see what it looks like, you know. And we can't help ourselves. And and man, they know by experience what they're seeing. They don't know what's in there, but they know by what they're seeing there's something else in there. And man, then all of a sudden you hear one of them say, "Oh my God, oh," you know, they start jumping around, and it's like you don't know what they just found, but we're going to be standing here waiting to see what it is. And then, you know, they find this whole treasure trove of something that they've been looking for. And I want to encourage everybody in the gospel revolution, hey, you know, don't leave the mountain just yet. We've got stuff to mine that I think will have an impact on generations to come. Let's keep mining and help us mine this.
Help us lick some rocks.
Yes, lick some rocks with Grandpa here. And it don't make any difference what Grandma says. Let's keep looking. And because there is nothing that is more consistent than the gospel. That I will tell you right straight up. There just is nothing. I don't care what arena of belief or unbelief. Don't just accept when somebody says, you know, none of this was factual, none of this happened. You realize people have been saying that for a long time, and people say things without any proof. And that's what we're relying on Barris now so much for, is to go into these areas and say, yes, there is proof. And yes, this is why we are, that's why we're still digging in this hole, because it's already transformed life to the degree that I don't have any need or desire to go anyplace else. I don't even understand the thought to want to go someplace else. This little show, and I can tell that when the sun's setting and then, or the rain's starting or the lightning's coming, and they're having to stop digging in this hole and climb back down the mountain and wait until the next day, and they climb all the way back up and start digging in the very same hole. They can't hardly drag themselves away from it because they want to keep going. And that really is the way I feel about this. So keep licking them rocks and seeing what they actually look like, see what they taste like. And folks, I'm telling you, there's more here. And it is the ability to interface with life. It's only been 2,000 years that we've been God-man, Barris. It's only been 2,000 years. And to hear it's only been 30 years that the gospel revolution's been gone. As far as the number of people who've actually heard, even what we understand about the gospel is so minuscule on the face of planet Earth, it's unbelievable. And yet, I know of nothing that has helped people where they are more than the gospel. So hang in there with us. We still have great passion about all of this.
And some of the greatest revelations are ahead of us. And by that I mean, as I was sitting back thinking about my conversation with Randy and him editing our stuff, suddenly got this picture of a jigsaw, and it works so well together. Who cares what I think about my stuff? I wonder what the God in me lights in the God in Randy.
Exactly.
I've got a reason to just keep my hands off that stuff now and really look forward. Yeah, it's good stuff. And the same goes with all of us here in the Gospel Revolution.
Exactly.
Did you put it in the paper? Did you write it down in stone? Did you send a short text message or fax it from your home? Did you put it in a billboard? Make a little sign? Email or do Facebook? Anyway, it's fine. Gotta get out the gospel. Gotta get out the gospel. GospelRevolution.com. Yeah, baby.
And so it is that we must leave you, family and friends. Don't forget to visit www.theteacherwithin.com and get your copy of Pep Washburn's new book, Touching Spirit, The Letters of Minaminike. We love you, each and every one of you, and if you'd like to join the amazing people who keep this gospel of grace and peace going out every week, then call our office at area code 321-220-4373 and speak to young Jeffrey. You want to leave a message for Mike or a question for him to answer? Dial area code 234-564-0971 and leave a voicemail. Our web address is www.gospelrevolution.com and on Facebook at Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution. Thanks to Marcel Roos in the Netherlands, all the gospel all the time is being broadcast 24/7 at myradiostream.com/gospelrevolution. And now it's good night from myself, Beres Bartlett, from the GR Studios in Nashville, Tennessee.
It's good night from Michael Williams right here in beautiful Palm Springs, California. And thank you guys so much, folks in Canada, all you guys contributing in the pledge drive. We love you, we appreciate you, and we look forward to the next time.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast, but if you didn't, remember, just because you're offended doesn't mean you are right. So if you prefer learning how to think to being told what to think, then join us again next week, same time, same channel, where we're going to do the same thing all over again.
It's always better.
When you're feeling down or you got the case of the blues, why don't you listen to the Gospel Revolution?
Empire.
Gospel Revolution.